Gracious and loving Father, we reverently, humbly, the best that we know how, O God, we approach thy throne of mercy tonight in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing it is you, Father, who came down with a shout, and that shout was not done in vain, but it was to bring forth an understanding of you so that we might become like you. We saw that revelation in manifestation through your prophet, and we're waiting for that revelation to come into manifestation in your sons of God. Be with us, Father, as we lay out your word, hold to your word, believe your word, and act upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to continue our study on doctrine. What it is, why it's necessary, why it must be first vindicated, etc. And tonight we're going to focus our thoughts on how your doctrine actually declares who you are. Now, Brother Bram said in a sermon, God's only provided place of worship. He says, sometime the capstone will return, the head of all of it, and receive the bride unto himself. Now, there's an awful lot that is said in the short statement of Brother Branham. And I've often said people rush through their reading of Brother Bram's sermons, and you miss a whole lot by doing that. You'd be better off reading one thought at a time and then meditating on that thought than reading it like a book. The Bible should be read the same way, one thought at a time. And when you do that, God begins to speak to you in a way that you've never experienced before. In 2004, after a week of teaching the ministers in Kinshasa, Congo, several ministers came up to me after the meetings were all over, and they said, if we learned one thing in this meeting, we sure learned how to read our Bibles. Now, that came from men who had been pastors for more than 20 years, and they were just finding out how to read their Bibles. Now, I'm thankful that they learned to read their Bibles, but they should have been taught that many, many years ago before they started pastoring their churches. But I'm afraid that most Christians fall into that same error. People do not know that this is the word. These are the words of God, and you don't read them like a book. You just don't try to rush through it and get to the next chapter. You read it one thought at a time, and then when you're satisfied that you understand what that thought that you read, then you read another, and you repeat the process over and over and over again. But that's why we can take 268 sermons from just one of Brother Bram's sermons, or 225 sermons from one of his. Because each thought that came from the lips of that vindicated prophet were the thoughts of God, because God promised to speak to us lip to lip through the prophet of his choosing. In Deuteronomy 18 and 18, he says, I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor comes to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now, as I read for our text tonight, Brother Bram said, from God's only provided place of worship, he said, sometime the capstone will return, the head of all of it, and he will receive the bride unto himself. And if you're observant, you will find this statement consists of 5 points. Brother Bram begins by saying sometime. In other words, in some specific time or season, something is going to happen, something will take place. Then he says, the capstone shall return. That's what will take place. Number 3, in order to receive something, and that something is called the bride. And where is this bride going to be received? To himself. And that is the focus of the message, to declare that he is here. So let's begin with the first point tonight. The word sometime. He says sometime, in other words, we are looking at a specific time or season for something to take place, something to happen. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, we read, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. But we're not interested in every time or every purpose. More specifically, we're interested in knowing a specific thing for a specific time and a specific season. So then we find that the season must have earmarks or marks of distinction. Like we see in spring, summer, autumn, and winter, each of these seasons have earmarks or specific characteristics that we are aware of and that we know of which we use to identify the season that we're in. So we see the characteristics identify the season. And so we find in examining 1 Peter 1, verse 15, 5 to 13, he says, "You who are kept by the power of God," and we know the power of God, according to Romans 1:16, is the word of God. He says, "You who are kept by the power of God through faith," which Brother Brown told us in the rapture sermon, it's revelation. Faith is a revelation, something that's revealed to you. He said, "You who are kept by the power of God through revelation unto salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time." Notice those words, last time. They speak of a time that is epochal, a time that is strategic in its significance, as the Weiss also translated those words. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold testings. That the trial of your faith," the trial of your revelation, "being much more precious than gold that perishes, though that gold must also go through testing by fire as well, but that you may be found after such testing to have your faith or your revelation come to the place of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end which is your goal or outcome of your faith," that your revelation, "even the salvation or the final deliverance and setting free of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, searching diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify to show or make manifest, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ," his first coming, "and the glory that should follow his second coming," in which he comes in glory, "unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost himself was sent down from heaven, which things even the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to reveal unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we're looking at an epochal and a strategic season. Brother Bell brought this out in his series on the rapture. Now notice, here we see that a season of grace is to come at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what does this grace do? It identifies the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then it will have earmarks of this message, or it'll have earmarks of this revealing of Christ. And we showed you last Sunday what that grace is. It's revelation. And it comes at the unveiling of the mighty God before us. Now notice 1 Peter 1, 5 to 13 speaks then of a season which is epochal and strategic in its nature according to the Weiss translation. In verse 13 we read, according to the Weiss, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be revealed unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, notice here we see that a season of grace is to come at that time of the great revelation of Christ. And what does this grace do? It identifies the revelation of Jesus Christ. Grace. Then grace then will be an earmark of this message or this revealing of Christ. Now the season is very important to us, and we must know and understand what season that we're in. Because each season has specific earmarks, identifiable characteristics, or what we should call fruits. Each season has specific fruit that will come forth, and you must know what season you're in so that you will know what fruits to expect. Strawberries are harvested in June, so if you were to look for them in October, you'll miss out on the strawberry harvest or strawberry festivals. Just the same as apples are best harvested in September or October, and if you look for them in June, you'll not be too satisfied with the fruit that you find there. So you must know what fruits are to accompany each season, and then you plant accordingly, and you harvest the same manner. Now, Brother Vail spent 20 years preaching parousia and Godhead. He began by preaching parousia because he was showing the people, look, there's more than just Malachi 4, Mark, you know, Revelation 10, 7, Matthew 17. There's more than just these verses, Luke 17. There's more than just these few verses that people in the message were saying, hey, we can show Brother Branham's ministry because of this scripture, this scripture, this scripture. And he said the whole thing is Christ. And to show that, Christ came down, well, then about 82, he recognized that a lot of people just didn't understand who came down. They were preaching that the Lamb had come down. And we know that the Lamb is the Son of God. So then he went from 82 until 2000, when he finished preaching. He began preaching on Godhead, showing the difference between Father and Son. Now, so in examining Psalm 1:1-4, notice we read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Notice here we find that God likens man to a tree that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. But it also tells us that the ungodly are not so, but are like the wind, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, they're all dried up when this was coming to harvest. You see? The scripture tells us we must have the right fruit for the right season. Matthew 7:16-20 tells us, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. The problem is, Brother Vail, for 20-some years, he preached and let us know the season that we're in. But I don't see the fruits of that season in the people. If Brother Branham's ministry would have been to preach that there's an ark, like Noah, then you'd expect to see an ark, and you'd expect to see people either working on the ark or in the ark. You understand? Brother Vail spent 20 years preaching that God himself has come down. He's in our midst. And yet, you look at the lives of the people. They don't believe the judge of all the earth is here. They're putting everything off till tomorrow. It's going to be too late. Much, much too late. In Matthew 7:16-20, he says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now listen, why am I preaching on this? You know, we're in a series on doctrine. But if the doctrine does not produce the life, then your doctrine is no good. It's absolutely no good. Because in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And the word Logos is translated as Word, Doctrine, Teaching. In the beginning was the doctrine. And the doctrine was with God because the doctrine was God. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And if the life is not coming forth from the doctrine, then your focus is wrong somehow. Somehow you got your doctrine wrong. Somehow you might be quoting it like a parrot, but you're not echoing it or reflecting it. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And Brother Brown taught us in the Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, the fruit is the teaching of the season. Now look, every good tree will bring forth good teaching. But a corrupt tree will bring forth evil teaching. A good tree cannot bring forth evil teaching, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good teaching. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. But if the teaching is only here and not in here, then there is no fruit to that teaching. It's all mental. Noah built the ark and entered the ark and was saved by entering the ark. Amen? Notice, twice Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruits. And what are these fruits Jesus is talking about? Well, we know that Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Therefore, as a man is, so shall he think and speak. Therefore, his fruits show what he is. Just as an apple hanging on a tree shows what type of a tree it is. When Jesus told his disciples to beware the leaven of the Pharisees, they thought he was speaking of bread, but he was not speaking of bread, he was speaking of their doctrine. And so a man's doctrine will declare what that man is in his heart. From an audience at the end time. Brother Brown said, when referring to Matthew 7, what is the fruit? It's the teaching of the season. So we see then that the season is all important as to what fruit is to be manifested. And since the fruit is a teaching of the season, then the teaching will identify the season as well. Now, notice there's got to be an identification of the season. That's what parousia and Godhead were all about. But there's also got to be an identification of the fruit. The season is not the fruit. Do you understand? But there's got to be a fruit for that season. So you have to know first the season. Then you'll know the fruit. Now, so see that the season has characteristics as well. And these characteristics that we are looking at here is the fruit or teaching that are being presented to the people. So then we must ask ourselves, what identifiable characteristic is Brother Branham speaking of here when he says sometime? Sometime what? And we follow up with sometime the capstone shall return. So then we're looking at the season when the capstone shall return. The capstone is referred to in Scripture by the word headstone. In Zechariah 4:4-7, we read that the angel that talked to me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So we find a very peculiar thing about the season, time or season, of the headstone. The people will be involved in a shout, and their cry will go forth as an echo of that shout, crying, grace, grace, grace unto it. Grace unto what? Unto the headstone. Now from Jesus keeps all his appointments, Brother Bram says, as it gets closer and closer, the negative and positive are coming together until they both become the same thing. And that's exactly when the church and the word has to be one. Like Jesus and God was one, just exactly God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And so will Christ have to be in the church, the anointed of the word, to make everything fulfilled. And that's the capstone that comes upon the last church age. From the paradox, Brother Ram said, now watch, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the capstone, when the church and the word becomes the same. Same thing exactly, perfectly. So we see the time of the capstone will be marked by certain characteristics, and these characteristics will bring forth the shout in the people crying, grace, grace unto it. Now remember, grace will be an earmark or an identifiable characteristic of the capstone season. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, we read, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not talking about unmerited favor. That's our typical definition for grace. But this grace actually does something and produces a fruit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, where it states that he will establish our hearts unblameable and in holiness in the presence of God, even our Father, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's got to be something that establishes our hearts. So we see our holiness does not come from anything that we can do, but simply what he said about you. Now, notice how Brother Branham was speaking of a time when the capstone would return. That's parousia, all right? That's what Brother Vail spent his last 20-some years preaching to us. And we know that he told us this capstone would do. He said the anointed word, which is Christ, would come amongst the bride and even enter into the bride, making her one with the Father. Fulfilling Jesus' prayer, his final prayer in John 17, Father, my prayer is that they would be one with you and I, as you and I are one. Now, we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and verses 10 to 7, the answer of how this oneness with God, with us and God, takes place like Jesus and God. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Now, notice how he comes in his saints. I mean, not his coming, but his glorification. This is when the very mind of God comes into the saints. Now, point number three, which is the receiving or reception that we get from him. Now, we know that this receiving us is already taking place as he is gathering us unto him, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Matthew 3 and verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So the parousia began to bring the people in this message to him, pointing to him. Who came down? God came down. Matthew 3:12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now remember, the church's reception of him was not so good. He was rejected and put out of the church, and he's standing at the door knocking, trying to get back in. So we see Brother Branham telling us that there is a certain season in which the capstone himself shall return and receive or gather a bride to himself. And this is what we're striving for. This is what it's all about. And how does he receive us? By bringing forth in us his manifested word. We are gathered unto him, and he is the word. Now, let's read on. From paragraph 256 of God's Only Provided Place of Worship, Brother Branham says, sometime the capstone will return, the head of it all, and receive the bride unto himself, which the woman has took from the man, a part of the man. Even the genes of the man is in the woman. That's what makes the woman. And that's the way the word of God is in the church, what makes the church the bride. Now, as we begin to look at this statement, I want you to notice closely that Brother Branham is giving us a little biology lesson here. He's typing the natural with the spiritual, as he often did. And he's focusing our minds upon his thoughts of the genes of God. He says the woman is taken from the man because she is actually part of the man. Then he qualifies this by saying genes of the man is in the woman. And he again qualifies this by saying that's what makes the woman. Or in other words, that's what makes up the woman. Now we read earlier from his message entitled Jesus Keeps All His Appointments. Brother Brown said, as it gets closer and closer, the negative and the positive are coming together. In other words, the capstone is coming down, and that shadow, which we are the shadow, we're reflecting him. But as that capstone comes down, the shadow gets closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to what he actually looks like. You understand? That's why Brother Vail, in his early years, preached for almost 10, 20 years on a capstone ministry. It's got to come into the church. Then for 20 years, he preached doctrine. And a lot of people came in at the time he was preaching doctrine and failed to go back and listen to what he taught prior to that, which was exactly what Brother Brown taught concerning John 14:12. Now, notice, until they both become the same thing. And that's exactly when the church and the word has to be one, just like Jesus and God was one. Just exactly. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and so will Christ have to be in the church, the anointed of the word, to make everything fulfilled, and that's the capstone that comes upon the last church age. Now, from the paradox, Brother Rand said, watch Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, the capstone when the church and the word becomes the same. I'm going to read that again. The capstone when the church and the word becomes the same. He's not talking about William Branham here. He's talking about you and me, the church. So we see that he is letting us know, in order for the bride and the word to be one, if the word was in God and the word is God, then we must have the same genes as God in order to be one with him. And we find this in the scripture as we re-examine 1 Peter 2, verse 6 to 9. He says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You're not going to be confused, like a lot of people are in this message. Now, notice first, this capstone or headstone was a cornerstone that was rejected in the Alpha ministry. And also, those who are elect and believe will not be confounded or confused. Now, verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Now, if you notice here, he did not say he is made the corner, but he is made the head of the corner. Amen? Jesus the man came in the Alpha, and he is a lamb that will be at the top of the mountain in the New Jerusalem, but above him will be the pillar of fire which will contain or house God himself. And it is that same Spirit of God that was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself that comes back as the capstone or headstone in this hour. And notice Peter says, to those who believe, he is precious. And if he is precious, then for him to be here is precious. Because how can you say that he is precious and then deny his promises and call it false doctrine or just another doctrine? If he is precious, then the very thoughts of him being here ought to make you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia?" What greater joy can you have? And I know people that their only joy is to get a new car or to get something new, something flashy. After 3 months, their joy is gone and they got to go buy something else to be happy again. But he says, what is our hope? What is our joy or crown of rejoicing? Isn't it the fact that we're in the presence of the Lord at his parousia? Isn't the fact that we're walking in the light as he is in the light? Now, "unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Now, which is a Greek word timē, which means he is highly valued. Or you place the highest value upon him. "But unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Okay, so we see here that there must be a seed or word or doctrine for a season, and you must know the season and the doctrine for that season. Now, if we are at the end time, then there are certain promises that are for the elect only at this hour. One of the promises is that we are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, Brother Vail touched on it, but he didn't go into that much. Brother Branham did. Brother Branham went into it 26 times. He preached adoption. Romans 8:29-30 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, if there's many brethren, and he's the firstborn, then the brethren are going to have the same father, the same papa as he does, right? And we know that we must be conformed to that image if we are to become joint heirs with him. Because we have shown many, many quotes from Brother Branham that if you are not the right kind of a son, you are still a son, but there will be no inheritance for you. So being conformed to the image of the firstborn son is essential to receive adoption as sons. Because if you're not conformed, if you're not the right kind of a son, you understand what I'm saying? If you're not the right kind of a son, you're not conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Because he is the right kind of a son. And it's already been proven because God already adopted him. So if you're not the right kind of a son, there's no adoption. So if you're not conformed, there's no adoption. You see? Ephesians 1 and 4. "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." Why? Because God's Spirit is holy. It's a Holy Spirit. That's why I just don't understand. People say they claim they got the Holy Ghost, and then they do all kinds of immoral things. Committing adultery, fornication, and whatever. It's not God. It's not a Holy Spirit would do those things. In fact, Brother Brown even said it, proves you don't have it. that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And how does the Spirit, God's Spirit, bear witness with our spirit? John 14:12. I'm going to show you tonight that John 14:12 is the most critical element for the adoption of sons, for being manifested as sons, and for being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Because if it's not there, there's no fruit. And if it's not there, then the Spirit, God's Spirit, is not bearing witness with your spirit. You understand? This does not say your spirit bears witness with his spirit. It doesn't say that. It says his spirit bears witness with your spirit. And Brother Bram said, and you do the things that you do and claim that his spirit's bearing witness with yours? I don't think so. You see? Now notice we read in John, we read on. Notice how Paul ties our adoption with being manifested as sons. And he says the whole creation is now groaning to see these sons manifest as sons should manifest. He says, and if heirs, he's still talking about adoption, and if heirs, join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, that word glorified is endoxazo. It is the doxa of God, his value, which are his values, his opinions, his judgments, expressed in your Zoe. That is John 14:12. I'm sorry, John 14:12 is not sign of Messiah. Absolutely, it is not. That's something altogether different. That's only for a vindicated prophet. In fact, not for all prophets, because not all prophets had it. It's for a special time and a special season. That season is over. And the sign of Messiah is gone. God took that vessel that he put sign of Messiah in off the scene. It's been 50 years since the sign of Messiah was last presented to the people. What has God been doing for 50 years? Well, I'm going to show you. For I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the doxa, the values, opinions of God, that shall be revealed in who? Us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for this manifestation of the sons of God. He's talking adoption. He's talking the adoption comes through the glory, having the values, the opinions of God manifested in your life. And now he says, and the whole creation is waiting to see it. To see this glory, to see this John 14:12, to see the very life of the Savior. Living itself, expressing itself in your life. Now, Brother Brown came. Brother Brown, it was in his life. He was the first fruit. He was the wave sheaf offering. Anybody that does farming, and I'm learning a little bit because I've got 8 acres I put under for the last couple of years. So I'm learning a little bit. And I know that before the evil harvest, you've got to go out, and the guy from the county, he'll come, and he'll take, and he'll sample your corn. And you'll test it for how green it is or for how much moisture it is. If it's not ready, there's no harvest. You gotta wait. You know what? You have to wait for the first fruit. So when he finally has one that's ready, he says the whole thing's ready. You understand? Okay. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. That's en doxazo, the glory of God, his values, his opinions, judgment, expressed in your Zoe. En is in, doxa is values and opinions, and zo, or Zoe, is your life. And I said that's John 14:12. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, with the values and judgments of God, and the opinions of God, which shall be revealed in us. Remember the word revelation, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says concerning Bible, it is a manifestation of divine truth. Revelation. When he comes to be revealed, how does he reveal himself? He unveils himself, right? Okay, well that's manifest. So notice, which shall be revealed or manifested in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for this manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So that's the final. When you get the body changed, that's when you got the new coat. Right? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. When you're born again, it starts the whole process. From the birth until the new coat, it's called the spirit of adoption. And it's a process. The problem is, too many people, Brother Bram said, where Pentecost went wrong, they thought being a son is good enough. That finishes it. He said, that just begins it. If we are not the right kind of son, there's no rapture for you. There's no inheritance either. You might be born again, but you're not living as a born again should live. In other words, you're a son, but there's no inheritance. Galatians 4 and 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And Brother Brown said, our tutors, the Holy Ghost. Even so, we, when we were children, were under bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, whereby you identify with the Father. You cry, Abba, Father. Again, the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Not here. The church is filled with people that got stuff up here. But it's not in here. And therefore, it doesn't come out in their actions. So if the Spirit of his Son is in your heart, how are you going to act? How are you going to speak? What kind of works are you going to do? John 14, 12 is the answer. Amen. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now notice then, John 14, 12 is the answer to adoption and placing of sons. John 14, 12 is the answer to how you manifest as a son of God, because you do the same things he did. Brother Brown said, you talk the same way, you act the same way, you do the same works he did. John 14, 12, why? Because you have the same spirit. He said you can't be the believer, you can't be a believer until you're born again, until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Too many people got a mental faith, but he said that's not it. You've got to be born again. John 14, 12 is the answer to your being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Because John 14, 12, he said, whoever believes in me, the works I do, the things I do, the things I say, the actions I take, the life I live, you will live also. Why? Because you're going to be an echo. A reflector, an omega reflection. Now, Brother Brown makes it clear in John 14, 12 is for every believer, as you see in the next quotation. From Questions and Answers, paragraph 172, he says, Brother Brown, can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? Well, that's what it is. Unless he was Christ? Well, sure. Let's take John, just a minute, St. John, the 14th chapter. I want you to look at this now. If you can catch it right quick, St. John 14, 12, I believe it is. Well, we'll get to it right quick and look what Jesus said about this. All right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he. Now, he doesn't stop there. He says, whoever it is. Brother Brown tells us that he is not one person. He said, whoever it is. That's a vindicated prophet. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Any man. So he is not singular. I don't care what anybody says. A vindicated prophet, and that's our absolute. He says, any man. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. How many believers have gotten here? Are the works of Christ following you? I hope they are. See, he'll do the works of Christ in any man. So it's not you doing them anyway, because Jesus himself, the firstborn son, said, I can of myself do nothing. But the Father shows me to do, I step into. He gives me vision, I step into the vision. I do exactly what he tells me to do. And you know what? You have that vision in your Bible. In the message. You have it all right there. Now, he'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Not I shall do. He shall do. He shall, not I. But he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died out. It's the key right there. And died out to himself. And my spirit dwells in him and he becomes a part of me. Now that don't make him Christ. It makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church. All right. He is not Christ because that would be Antichrist. You see, he would be taking away from Christ. So he can do the works of Christ, any believer. All right. Now, five times in one paragraph alone. You know what I think is interesting? Go out to Brother Biskell's website or even our old search engine, which was taken from about, I don't remember what year we put that out. But the voice of God recently came across missing portion from the tape, and this is a missing portion. This was not meant for people years ago. This is absolutely an end time condition that the bride will be when she's conformed to the image, when she's ready for adoption, when she's manifesting as the Son of God would manifest. Now, when Christ is a mystery, because I just did just one of the brothers that was translating this for me, a little study I put out in from Brother Mario from Bolivia. He wrote to me, he said, well, that quote's not in the Spanish. He said, I went to look it up in the English. I couldn't find it. I said, well, go to the Voice of God website. You'll find it there. So we did. I found it. So I asked him, I said, would you translate it? And we took the whole sermon. And I had him, and I went through the whole sermon. And I compared what we had in our search engine versus what was now on the website. And I highlighted then and brought in from theirs, because I put on two documents, Word documents. And I brought the ones into it. I highlighted them. And then I sent them. And I said, just the highlighted, go ahead and translate. Now we have the French and the Spanish, which they have on their website as well. So we're going to be sending that to the Voice of God so they can actually update theirs for the Spanish and for the French. Because they already had done it with the English. Now, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Brown said, they said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, there's a difference. See? That's right. See? And they say, well, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The Methodists say, well, we are based upon the Bible. Well, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where's it at? Uh-huh. See? Right. The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in him. Now, where's it at? That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Now, where's it at? See? Oh, it just showed. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. And that's what the churches that follow this message right now are in, a hybrid condition, because they've taken the vindicated word and they've mixed it with their own thoughts of man. And they say, that doesn't fit with our doctrine, so we're going to throw that out. And you're throwing out vindicated truth. And how do you expect that vindicated truth to be reflected and manifested in your vessel if you throw it out because it doesn't fit your doctrine? From Christ to the mystery, he says, St. John 14:12, he said, he, anybody, that's Brother Brown's words, not mine. Anybody, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Well, that was for another age. Well, there you are, you got your picture all wrong again. Notice his explanation for the word he, in he that believeth is anybody. Now, in a sermon, The Countdown, Brother Brown said, his first decision is a perfect decision and has to be ever remain the same, and we know it, Father. And we know it, Father. Now, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He cannot change that decision. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If the life of Christ be in you, if the mind of Christ, then we're concerned and do the things of Christ. He said, these signs shall be done, that he done, will follow every believer that believes in him. And they want to throw signs out. Well, you know what you're doing? You're throwing out supernatural. You're throwing out God because he's supernatural. From about Jesus, he said, now look, when Jesus left the earth, here's what he said. These things that I do shall you do also. Even more than this shall you do. Brother Ram is avoiding the word he. Because some people get the idea he's only one. He's saying you. Greater, which really is more, he couldn't do anything greater, but you could do more of it. More than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. He said, a little while, and the world, that's the unbeliever, will see me no more. That'll be finished to the world when I leave here in this physical form. I'll be gone, and that's all that they'll ever see of me. But yet ye shall see me. Now watch what he promised. He said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. Now, who is the ye? And who's the unbeliever? There's unbelievers in every age, and there's ye's in every generation. Plural. Yet ye shall see me. He promised to return into his church and do the same things that he did when he was here on earth. And the Bible said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And hasn't he done all things well this week? Has he? The blind see, the cripples walk, the spastic raised up. Sin has been rebuked, the vision has come. Everything that's been said had been perfect. Just exactly, is that right? Sinners have been saved. People received the Holy Spirit, been born again, bore witness of the Spirit. Signs and wonders has happened everywhere. What is it? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not with just Brother Branham, but with his church everywhere. You're just as much into it, or more into it than I am. This just happens to be a gift. That don't mean it makes me any more than you, probably not as much. See, if the resurrection would come tonight, you old timers that fought to win the prize and sailed through the bloody seas would go before me, and you would deserve to go. I'm just following the road that you paved, that's all. It's just a gift. God sent it, placed it. I had nothing to do with it coming. I was born that way, and it's just a gift to glorify God, or not glorify, but magnify him, to bring him out, to let the people see that he's here. God does that through the preaching of the word, through signs and wonders. He's the same Lord Jesus. Do you believe it? Now, notice William Branham himself said, not just with Brother Branham, but with his church everywhere. You're just as much into it, or more into it than I am. From five, identification of the true church of the living God. There's five identifications, and the very first one Brother Branham brings out. He says, John 14:12, he gives a teaching what the church should do. In John, the 14th chapter, 12th verse, we'll see what that says, John 14:12. So we read it, make it official, all right. John 14, the 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's the message of the church. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, living in the church, king of the church, raised from the dead, saying yesterday, today, and forever, performing the same works, doing the same things that Jesus did. That's the message of the church. And if the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. That's what Jesus commanded them to preach. Hallelujah. And yet I'm called false because I teach it. Well, who's false? He said, if you're not teaching it, you're false. Now let me emphasize again, he said, if the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology.
Yes.
So what did a vindicated prophet say in John 14:12 was? Well, from his sermon, taking on the whole armor of God, Brother Branham said, John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What is it? So he's going to tell us what it is. It's God in the church in these five predestinated offices, backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there, which is the word made manifest, proving his resurrection, proving that he lives. All other religions are dead. Their forms are dead. There's only one that's right, and that's Christianity, because Christ is living in the church of Christ, amen, making his word manifest, for he is the same. If it's the same word, it'll do the same thing and show the same works and show the same signs. Matthew 28 says so. Be with his army in them securing, think of it, the great word general triumph in us. All right, in the message, the Messiah, Brother Branham said, they look like him, they act like him, they are flesh, they are his flesh, his body, his blood, his spirit. Amen. That's the way God's church is. His eaglets, his Messiahettes, they look like him, they act like him, they preach like him, they do the works that he did. The things that I do shall he also. More than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Amen. These signs shall follow my eaglets. Amen. They'll do just as I do. If my spirit is in them, then they'll do the works that I do. If they don't do the works that I do, it's because my spirit is not in them. And I'll tell you, while they're preaching that it's only in William Branham, is because the same spirit that was in William Branham is not in them. Now you say, that's pretty hard. Listen, that's just exactly what he said.
That's right.
I'm just paraphrasing what the prophet said. From a sermon, God identified. Listen, I've met enough ministers around the world, over 3,500, to let you know that I doubt 10% of them are actually born again. Then what about the people sitting under their ministries? Because Brother Brown said, you can't live any higher than your pastor. And if you're sitting under a pastor that's not born again, what do you expect for yourself? What kind of food are you feeding on? From a sermon, God identified by his characteristics, Brother Brown said, John 14, 12, he that believeth, Jesus said on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now look, he that believeth on me, a true believer, the works that I do shall he do also. Notice, in other words, like this, he that believeth on me shall be identified by my characteristics, the works. Now, that's what he did. He said, if I don't do the Father's works, then don't believe me. And the Father spoke to the prophets, and that was their characteristics, their identification. So was it with Jesus, and promised it to him that believeth, my characteristics shall do in him just as it did in me. Now, that's a pretty great promise, considering that Jesus, the firstborn, uniquely born Son of God, came forth in the image of God his Father himself. So that would indicate to us then that the image that we are to be conformed to is the image of God that was displayed in his firstborn son. And how are you going to be conformed to his image and be ready for adoption and placing? How are you going to manifest as a son of God without John 14:12? I ask the question. Well, they say, well, we believe in Mark 16. Well, so does the Catholic Church. Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. It says nothing about stopping storms. It says nothing about supernatural. It just says, you pray for the sick, all you got to do is lay hands on them. Don't even have to pray, you just lay hands on them. That's it. It's confined to just healing. What about all the other great things that God does? So what is the seed for this season? And what is the answer to the three promises of God being conformed to the image of the firstborn son, being manifested as the son of God, and being the right kind of son made ready for adoption? It's John 14:12. There's your answer, brothers and sisters. And when you see this, you will see it in every sermon that Brother Branham preached. From Return and Jubilee, Brother Branham said, before I could act as a human, now he's going to tell us about this. Before I could act as a human, before I could walk like a human, before I could talk like a human, I have to be born a human. How could a knot on a tree know how I acted? How could he ever say, I don't act like that? The only way that he could be that would be to be born like me. That's the way organization is dead. Drawed people away because it went after a creed. That's doctrines. But in order to be a son of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become Christ-like, that's conformed to the image, and do the works of Christ. It all comes to a birth, brother, sister. Yeah. Letting off the pressure said, if I told you I had the spirit of John Dillinger, you'd expect me to have guns and be an outlaw. If I told you that the spirit of an artist was in me, you'd expect me to paint some pictures. If I told you the spirit of some great soldier, you'd expect me to know all the arms and everything because his spirit is in me. If I tell you the spirit of Christ is in me, then I should do the works of Christ, live the kind of life that he lived, and sacrifice life for the people. That's right. And from a sermon, hear ye him, Brother Ram said, now, there's where the church ought to be today. Jesus said, these things that I do shall you do also. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Or why are we so scared of that? What's the matter? If Christ has clothed us with the Holy Spirit and been adopted into the family after being born again and been baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit, if it's a true witness of God, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Then we set like, oh well, that was something else. From be certain of God. He said, if I told you I had the spirit of Al Capone, you'd better call the police and arrest me. I might have a gun. If I told you I had the spirit of some famous artist, you'd expect me to paint these hills out here just as natural as they are. Because that's what the artist would do if I had a spirit. If I had the spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. That nails it down pretty good right there.
Yes, sir.
If the works of Christ are not being done in that church, forget it. You better run from it. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe," and we've perverted it by works of man and doctrines of man. We put doctrine above the works of Christ. The Bible said in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. You say them is communists. No, them is Christians, so-called, and church members. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, saying, "Oh God, God did that in another age, not in this age." The Bible said, "From such turn away." We're living in that day. Listen, you got to have spirit and truth. So you've got to have doctrine to have a ministry, but not only doctrine. Because if you have only doctrine, you don't have the doctrine in here anyway. You got it just up here. And if you've got doctrine as a theology, that's man's understanding. It's not God's understanding. And if you've got theology and not the Holy Spirit, you're going to fuss and fight about doctrine all day long. And when you teach it as a theology, it's open for debate. Everybody's got their own. From discerning of the body, he said, the best witness that we have the Holy Ghost, is when our spirit bears record with the Word. If we call ourselves Christians and say we're filled with the Spirit, and we see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the believers for all ages, and our spirit tells us that that's for another age, you're wrong. That's right. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if our spirit said, no, he's dead, he's gone on, there's something wrong. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. And if our spirit pulls back from that, we haven't got the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Spirit will say amen to every word that he wrote. Now, intellectual knowledge will pull you away from it. But the Holy Spirit will say amen to his own word. He certainly will. And he's seeking and hunting and trying to find someone that he can put himself into. He longs to find it. Now, you know, if I didn't put this in blue, because all Brother Bram's is in blue, all that's red, even if Brother Bram's quoting it, is Scripture. If I just put that in black and didn't put his things up there, I'll guarantee people saying, they'd be saying that that's what I'm preaching. That's my own ideas. But I'm only saying what a vindicated prophet said. And I stick on it. I stick with it. From position of Christ, like Billy Paul says, God said it. God's prophet said it. I believe it. And that's us. From position, Christ says, for you haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Congregation says adoption. Now, after you've adopted, all right, after you're adopted, you're placed. Then you understand, after the ceremony is said, and you've been put into the body correctly, you're a son, sure, a daughter. When you're born again, that's your birth. But now your position is placed. We've not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means, my God, all right? The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does it do it? Well, you say, glory to God, hallelujah, it don't bother me, I'm a child of God, and go out and do the things that you do. The spirit of God will do the works of God. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See? So how does God bear witness? How does his spirit bear witness with your spirit? Because God's spirit, through your spirit, does the works. You just yield yourself. Like I said to Brother Vail, I don't know what these guys are fussing about. I said, if our motive is right, our objective right, I don't care if I have to be a doormat in the house of God. If that's all he wants me to do. Listen, we cannot say that when I think it was Ezekiel or Jeremiah, one of them, they laid on their side 340 days on their right. Then he said, turn over and lay on your left for another 40 days. And that was a sign to Israel. You know what that was? That was the works of Christ. Man, I can't even make it through one night laying on one side. I'm back and forth, back and forth. I tell you, that would take the works of Christ. For those who think Brother Lee Vail, end time teacher of the message, taught differently from Brother Bram, vindicated prophet of God, concerning John 14:12, in his sermon Adoption, number one, preached February 6, 1972, Brother Vail said, how can anybody deny John 14:12, greater works than these should you do because I go to my Father? That they will know that I am in you, and you in me, the Father in me, and I in the Father, and so on, until there is a complete oneness. When has that ever taken place? See? When has there ever been manifested the fullness in the bride? Now, We are not talking now about one or two people. That's where people get it all mixed up in the stature of a perfect man. They try to make it an individual thing and it won't work. It's the church through the ages. Brother Branham's message was consistently the church coming to maturity and showing what the age produced, and everybody wants to put it on a man. You can't do it. We're talking about a bride. See? Now we're coming to that age. We're coming into this age. Now, as this subject has been taught to us by Brother Branham, it is difficult for most people to see that what he was driving at, because they consistently confuse sonship with the placing of sons. Or in other words, a child of God and the placing of that same child of God as a son. Also, they have been taught that the placing of the son is the resurrection, is in the resurrection, and not the capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. Now, you catch it. There are two things where people want to place this only for a 30 or 40 days in the resurrection, or the resurrection itself, and they want to put it in the millennium or someplace else. Now, before it's finished, I'm going to show you how it works all the way down the line. That is with my understanding of it. You go the way you want to go on. But I said, they don't understand the difference between ordinary sonship as a son of God and the placing of sons. And secondly, they don't realize that Brother Branham taught that there would be a capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. You see right there? Now, first of all, let us see the sonship, or the ordinary fact of being a child of God, is not the placing or the adoption or the manifestation of the sons of God. And to do this, we study the life of Christ, who is the last Adam, the first begotten of the dead. See, talking about the first fruits, then we go to the lump, because the lump follows the first fruits. In other words, he is the vine and we are the branches. All right? So as I began the sermon tonight by saying your doctrine identifies who you are, it declares who you are. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because our doctrine does declare us. And believing, O God, every word your prophet said, he said, say all that's on the tapes and say only what's on the tapes. And that's what we do. And so, Father, you've brought to our attention that we've got to be the right kind of a son. We've got to be conformed to that image. We have to be little Jesuses, little Messiahs, if we're going to make a rapture. So, Father, we ask you to help us to die daily. As your prophet himself said, if Paul had to die every day, then how about us? Lord, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That means present tense. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God who gave his life for me. Father, help every one of us to learn how to die daily so that you might manifest, you might help us to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, that you might manifest Christ's life in these vessels. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. There we have it. Without John 14:12, you can't be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Because that is the conforming. I mean, that's the blueprint. How you can be conformed? Do what he did. Say what he said. Do the works he did. You know, it's a funny thing, but Paul said we must grow up into Christ in all things. He didn't say we must grow up unto Christ. He said into. Because if we are the body, we've got to match the head. You don't have a huge head and then a little teeny body. You got to have a body that matches. The neck has got to be the same. And Brother Branham, the voice there was the same. Brother Branham was so conformed to the image of the firstborn son. People thought he was. Some people did. What about you? What about me? Are we so conformed that people see Christ in us? That should be our daily challenge. That should be our daily dying out. Father, let people see your son in me. And Lord, would you let me know when they do, so I know where I'm at from the birth to the body change? I want to know how far along I'm at. Columba was so much like Christ. the works of Christ was in you. Martin died to self so much that the works of Christ is in him. Raised two men from the dead. And that was even without this end time capstone revelation. I'll sing out a love song to Jesus.